Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome. Thank you for braving the snow, right, to dig out and all that stuff. And all of a sudden you hit and the band hits. It's kind of like, okay, here we go. But thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part. Thank you for just committing to come in and worship God together today. And I kind of agree with Laura, like, because we had to dig out and snow out, like, just so you know, we're not a church that we just sit and just sit. Like, this is like participation. So are you guys good? And I hear, like, get some, okay, we're good. All right, cool. So I'm glad you're here, and we're going to get into it. You ready? All right. So Howard Schultz was the former CEO of Starbucks, and he wrote a couple of different books. But in one of the books that he wrote this quote: "Success is empty if you arrive at the finish line alone." It's a powerful thought. What is he saying? Well, we're going to get into that, what he means by that and what that means. But before we do that, just let me say, we are in a series called The Home Run Life. We're talking about what the home run life is and what God has for us in life for the home run life. And so remember that I didn't come up with this stuff. I didn't come up with this content and this idea. This was actually brought together by a guy named Kevin Myers, who wrote a book called Home Run. And he talks about how God designed us, you and I, all of us, for the home run life. And so that's what we've been talking about the last several weeks, and so that's what we're going to do today. But before I get into our specific topic today, let's review about what we've talked about for the rest of this early on in this series, because we really can't understand what I'm going to talk about today unless we understand what we've already talked about. All right, so let's quickly review. What is the home run life? The home run life is very simply this. It's four parts that we're using baseball as a metaphor for. Okay, so we have a baseball diamond. With the home run life, you always have to start in the same place. If you're going to have the home run life, you have to start at the same place. And that would be home plate. Home plate is simply where we connect with God, where you connect with God. You have to begin and end with God. And that's why home plate is the starting and the ending point for a home run life. You connect with God. This is what gives you the power to run around the rest of the bases in life. God gives you the purpose. God gives you the power. God gives you the unction. Have you ever heard that word before? Unction. Gives you the motivation, the challenge to do what you're supposed to do to run the bases of life. So you have to start with God. But then you can't just stay at home plate, right? Do you score runs by staying at home plate? No, you have to get off of home plate and you have to go to first. First base is where you win inside, where you win within. This is your character. It's who you really are, especially when nobody's around. Then that takes you and propels you around to second base, which is community. This is where you win with others. This is the relationship base. This is where you win with others. You can't just win within, you win with others. And then that propels you around to the third base, which is where you win results. This is where you win success. Now, this is the base that everybody wants. This is where you can make money. This is where you have a job. This is where you have a career, and it's meaningful and all that stuff. But third base is not just winning success in your job or in money. It's far more than that. It's where you win success in every area of your life, all the previous bases, which is why you have to run those bases. And so third base, you get win results. That's great. But then you can't end at third base. Let me hear you guys. In baseball, do you score a run at third base? No, see, you guys can, you can even more is fine. Like, bring it. There we go. Now we're warming up, right? No, nobody scores a run at third base. You have to cross home plate. You begin and you end with God. This is where we win significance. This is where we win in our legacy. This is where we win for eternity. This life on earth is not all there is. There is more to it beyond this life. And so that's where we win significance. And so the home run life has to be run in the right order. Right? If you think about baseball, if I hit the ball and I get through the infield and gets into the outfield and I run to third base, what happens to me if I run to third base? Anybody? Baseball? What happens? I even saw the signals. Thank you, Joe. They're like, out. You're out. And everybody's like, no. Right? If you're on the team, you run to the bases, you want to feel safe. Yeah? But if you run to third base, you're out. No, you got to get off home plate. You run to first, you run to second, you run to third, then you run home, and you have to do it in that order. You cannot do it out of order. But here's what the world does. See, that's God's way, run the bases in order. But the world's way, you know what the world does? The world runs them backwards. The world chases third base. Figure out your career. Figure out how you're going to make money. Make as much money as you can. Make sure you step on whoever you can as you do it. That's the world. The world chases third base, but here's the problem. And you guys know this. If I run to third base, you already said it. I'm what? I'm out. You're going to be thrown out. We can't chase third base because if we chase third base, the only way to do that is to cheat second base, your relationships, to cheat your character, and to cheat God. You cannot run the bases backwards. The world tells you you can. They get you to try, but you can't run the bases backwards. And so, here's the question today. Remember Howard Schultz? If you reach the finish line, but you're all alone. If you want success, but you don't have relationships, you don't have your character, you don't have your faith, what have you got? Nothing. So you haven't actually won. And so here's the question today. It's an important one. One of the most important ones you'll ever ask. How do we as people get success without losing the Hormon life? How do we win in life but without losing our soul? Isn't that a question that everybody wants to know? Isn't that a question everybody's fighting for? How do I be successful in life but not sacrifice my marriage and my family and my kids and my character and my faith? How do I do that? Well, we're going to answer that question today. So let me give you an overriding principle that we need to understand today, especially today. This is the whole series, but today especially. And that is this. My purpose is my creator, not my career. I live and work for my creator first. Now, is that tough? Is that hard? You can't put your job first? You can't put your career first? Some of you are sitting here going, you don't know my boss. Right? Some of you are like, you don't know how much I need to make. Have you looked at how much rent is these days? Right? Yeah. And yet, we need to understand that our creator, God, has to be first. We have to work for him. That's our purpose. Your purpose in life is not your career. Your purpose in life is God. So how do we do that? How do we work for God, put God first without sacrificing all the other things? Because I don't know about you. Did you notice it's cold and wet outside? Did anybody notice that today? So a house is kind of important, right? If we're going to stay safe, we need to. Well, I don't know if you noticed, but they don't give out houses for free. Did you notice that? They don't. And so how do we do this? How do we survive financially? How do we do these things without sacrificing the rest of the Hormon life? How do we do this? Well, we've got to change our identity. Our identity. Our identity can't be tied to our job. And we know that our identity a lot of times is tied to our job, to our career, isn't it? Like, for example, when you meet somebody for the first time, and you're just getting to know them, maybe the first few minutes, sometimes in the first hour, but what is one of the first questions? It's not always this way, but what is one of the first questions that you ask? You say, what do you do? Don't you? I do too. I'm like, what do you do? And then usually, not every time, but usually the response is, I am fill in the blank. I am an accountant. I am a nurse. I am a doctor. I work at the factory over here. I work at this company. I do this. I am in marketing. I am, I am, I am. And then we say, I am this, and all of a sudden, the whole conversation is wrapped around, that's who you are. Is it who you are? No, it's not. What we've done is we've taken a part of our life and we've allowed that part of our life to consume our life. It's supposed to be a part. Of course you have to have a job. Of course. But it should not consume who you are. And sometimes we allow that, don't we? And so there's a lie that goes along with this. And that lie is this. We believe that we cannot have success and the home run life at the same time. We believe that. We believe I can't be successful. I can't get ahead and have an amazing marriage and have incredible, you know, relationship with my kids and be able to do all that I need to do and volunteer at church and, you know, set up Christmas decorations. You guys understand I didn't do most of all the lights and pretty stuff going on, right? That was a whole host of volunteers yesterday. They did an amazing job, by the way. Isn't this beautiful, right? Just walk in. Can I just say, I spent about half of my time in the building plugging things in this morning. I'll just say that. Literally. Plugging things in. How do we do it? How do we? We don't believe that we can have success and volunteer at church, have success and have a great marriage, have success and be present with my kids, have success and be around and do this and do this. And we just don't think it's possible. And I'm here to tell you, that's a lie. It is. It is absolutely possible. God made you for the home run life. He wouldn't make you for something and say, it's not attainable. That would be evil. So, back to the question. How do we have the home run life? How do we gain success without losing our soul, without losing the home run life? How do we do that? Well, do you guys remember our key verse for this series? It's the Apostle Paul. He was writing in the book of Romans, Romans 12:2, and he tells us that there's something that needs to change in our life. If we're going to have the home run life, if we're going to find success and not lose our soul, something has to change in how we do something. Let me read it for us. Romans 12:2 says this, "Don't copy or don't follow the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you." That's a fancy word for change. Let God change you into a new person. How's he going to do it? By changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You need to change the way you think. Did you guys know there's a way that you think? There's a way that I think. Like, for example, this is not in my notes, but let's go there anyway, right? But when we go out to the mountains, you guys know, one summer is the beach, right? We go there. And then the other summer, we go to the mountains. When we go to the mountains, because I love the mountains almost more than life itself. I'm just saying, when I see a mountain, I'm like, yes! And I don't like to look at the mountain. I like to climb the mountain. We stop as soon as we can so we can start climbing the mountain. And I get excited about this. Like, my heart is just like, oh, a week before we leave, I'm giddy. I'm like, I can't handle it. We're going to go to the mountains. And my family's like, oh, here we go again. Right? And we get out there, and I've got hikes planned. I've learned that I'm a little much when it comes to hikes. Because I'll tell my kid, I'll be like, it's not that far. It's going to be like 4 miles. And they're like, it usually turns into more like 4.5, 5, 6-ish. Sometimes 8. Like, it's fine. But I'm so excited, and there's a whole lot. And here's the deal. I sometimes think, oh, the mountains are amazing. That's how I think. And my family's going, oh, my goodness, when is this going to be over? Because we think different. God wants you to think different than the rest of the world. Not the same, different. So you need to change the way you think. How do we change the way we think? Well, we need to change a lie that has been given to us. It has been presented to us. It has been shoved down our throat by the world. The world has shoved a lie down our throat. In fact, when I tackled this lie, here in a minute, it's how we need to change the way we think. When I tell you this lie, you're going to actually, some of you are not going to believe it's a lie. You believe this to be truth because the world has shoved it down our throat so much. We actually believe it's true when it's absolutely a lie. Okay? You know what the lie is? Some of you are like, okay, you built it up enough. Let's go. What's the lie? Here's the lie. And I have an image to show you this. We believe that we can draw a line right down the middle of the home run life and divide it into two sections. The world has taught us this. In fact, they've said this is the only right way to do life, to do school, to do government. Let's divide our life in half. On one side is going to be our professional life. This is where we have our career. This is where we have our job. This is how we act this way. We have our coworkers. So some of the relationships are over there, but our professional ones and how I treat people that way and what I do on a daily basis and at my job, this is how I can act. This is what I can do. This is how I can talk. And this is one way of life. And then we have a second side of life. That's where we have our relationship with our spouse and our kids and our friends. And this is the personal side of life, and we have our character. You know, who I am at work is not really who I am. This is how I really am. This is who I really am, your character. And then God's over on that personal side. God can be over, you know, faith and Sundays and as long as the Packers aren't playing and, you know, whatever. God can be over that stuff, but God can't be over my job because I've got to just get things done, right? And we divide it. And you guys know that we do this. You guys know, you know how you know? Because we have terms in our life, in our world, that describe this. You know what it's called? On the one side, it's sacred. And on the other side, we call it secular. Another way of saying this is separation of church and state. I'm blowing up a few American things now. We believe this lie. We believe it's supposed to be this way. We're like, yeah, that's right. That's normal. Because we don't want to push God on people. Okay, true. We shouldn't go around slamming Bible down people's throats. Right? I'm not saying you should walk into work with the Bible open and be like, hey guys, have you heard this verse before? It's amazing. Let's read it together. In fact, let's sit down and pray together right now. I don't care about the meeting. Our boss is going to be fine. Let's sit down and pray. No. I'm not saying be crazy. But when we decide to separate God from our job, from our work, from our school, from our government, from everything else, we have divided life. And we've said, God's not over everything. He's just over some things. He can be over some things, but not everything. Well, when you put it that way, it sounds bad. You know why it sounds bad? Because it's a lie. God can't be over some things versus everything. The difference between that is night and day. In fact, let me just share this. The difference between this, you know how big the difference is? Is the difference between a steak or a cow patty. Oh, Merry Christmas. Anybody want that for Thanksgiving? Man, you didn't think I'd put cow poo in front of you on a Sunday morning. Oh, I will. Now, here's the deal, okay? Thanks for taking it off pretty quickly. Everybody's like, thank you for that. Steak and cow patty come from the same place. But nobody's ordering cow patty at the restaurant. You know what I want? I want a good cow patty. Bring me some syrup too, though, please. I'm a man brain. Trust me, my brain goes to all of these things. Here's the deal, right? The difference is the difference between steak and cow patty. It's so different. God being over everything is truth. God being over most things, almost everything in your life, is a lie. God has to be over everything. The home run life is God over everything. All of life. All of life. And when he's not, we've divided it. We've put a wall between the two parts of our life, and we're like, God, you can have some reign and some say over this, but I'm going to kind of take care of things over here. My retirement, God, I've got the plan. Just don't even speak into that. I'm set, right? This is where we're going to go. This is where we're going to live. This is what we're going to do. This is my job. This is how I have to act at my job. Sometimes I have to lie at my job to get ahead. Sorry, God, that's just the way it's going to be. But over here, I'm going to be really faithful. You see how wrong that is? It's no wonder if we live that kind of divided life, why people look at Christianity and Christians sometimes and go, I don't think I want that, because they're this type of person here and this type of person here. Not good. We can't divide our life. We cannot divide the home run life. We've got to change our thinking, because here's the deal. We can't ask God to bless backwards base running. God, I'm going to keep chasing third base. Is that okay? Like, can you just bless that for a minute, and then I'll get my relationships right, and then my character, and then my faith. Can you just bless this first, and then we'll do that? God will say no, because you know why? Because I can bless steak, but I'm not going to bless cow poo. I'm not blessing backwards base running. And so we've got to change our thinking. So the question is, well, how do we do that? How do we change our thinking? Well, let me give you a couple of principles or thoughts to think about as we try to change our thinking. The first one is this: God is my provider. See, what we think is, we need to change the way we think. What we think is, put in the name of your company or put in the name of your boss, and we say, this is my provider. Right? Now, some of you are like, well, they are the ones who write the check. They are the ones that deposit into my bank account. 100%. I'm not saying you don't get money through these things. What I'm saying is we need to change the way we think and think, okay, but God ultimately is my provider. The one who gave you the skills and abilities, the gifts that you have to be able to work and do what you do, came from God. God is your provider ultimately. In fact, Jesus tells us this about God being our provider. Matthew chapter 6. He says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Just pause there for a moment. I know there's more scripture. Just pause. Anybody willing to admit by raising your hand and saying, sometimes I worry about everyday life? Anybody willing to admit that here this morning? Okay, cool. Some of you need to be like, stop dividing life and be honest in church too. Like, that would be awesome. Okay, cool. No, we're good. We're good. My hands up because I do. Okay? I'm a pastor. I know I believe in Jesus. Absolutely. God is my provider. I know all that. But if you talk to my wife, talk to my kids, sometimes I'm frustrated. Sometimes I'm angry. Sometimes I'm scared. Sometimes I'm worried. Sometimes I'm angry, mad about something that I just can't control, right? Because I worry about everyday life sometimes. But Jesus says, that's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? What's the answer to that question? In fact, what does it really do? You know what stress and worry does to our life? It actually steals your life. In two ways, by the way, in two ways. Science is really clear. Stress and worry actually steals literal days from your life, physical, and it steals you from the moment. Whatever you're supposed to be present in and with, it takes that away too. It literally steals your life. Can it add a single moment to your life? The answer is no. But the truth is, we all have the pressure to perform, don't we? To make money, to make this happen. But God tells us an important principle. Jesus tells us, actually a little bit later in that chapter, he says this. He says, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Seek God first, and he'll give you everything you need. I want to be clear. It does not say, don't hear this through an American mindset, put God first, and God will give you everything you want. God, I'd really like a bigger snowblower today. Anybody wanted that this morning? Anybody had the snowblower not work, and you're like, And you should have taken it to that small engine repair guy that you know beforehand. You're like, oh, I should have done it. Right? Why? Why do we worry? Because we're not sure if we can trust God enough to take care of everyday life, and so we can't put him first. But here's what happens when we do. You know what happens when we do? Let me kind of paint the other side of this picture. When we put God first, here's what happens. We trust God. Therefore, then if we trust God, we know that first base has to come first. And so we trust God and we run to first and we get right in our character. We live correctly. We live rightly, righteously. And if we live rightly, guess what? Then we can be trustworthy because we have good character. And as people trust us, guess what? When people trust you, then you can have good relationship with people because they can trust you. And if people trust you, then you can trust them and you have these great, amazing relationships. And then if you have trustworthiness and you have people that you can trust and you trust in God, then it's going to give you success. And if you have success in your life, in all areas of your life, not just in your job, but in your everything, then you're also going to have significance. You're going to leave a legacy of everybody's going to talk about how you lived life and like, wow, this is amazing how he or she did this for me and this and this and amazing, did so much good in their life. All because it started by seeking God first and putting him first and trusting God first. You see how it starts? It has to start that way. So that brings us now, I don't know if you've noticed, but we're kind of in theory land right now. Some of you are like, yeah, I noticed. I noticed we're in theory land. So let's get really practical for a minute. Okay? Let's get practical for a few minutes here. What do we do? How do we live this out? How do we trust God? How do we change our thinking? How do we do this? I'm glad you asked. Let's give a couple of thoughts. First, God is my provider. We already mentioned that. And so I trust him. But what in the world does that mean? I've already said that, right? Trust God. Okay. But how do we trust God? Let me give you two thoughts. First thought is this. Before I run to work, I walk with God. Before I run to work, I walk with God. What in the world does that look like? Well, what that looks like is you giving God time to pour himself into you before you get into your day. Certainly before you open the dreaded, most evil thing on the planet. You know what that is? That's email. Anybody ever open email when you first get up? Don't do that. Don't do that. Talk about adding worry to your life. Email. Before you get into all that, walk with God. Spend time with God. Get into his words. Get into prayer. Start talking to God. Listen to God. Admittedly, in my season of life right now, this is pretty easy. I'm not saying I'm just good at it. I'm just saying it's pretty easy for me to do that today. And this is why, because I have a very flexible schedule. It's a full schedule, but it's flexible. And so I have an office right down in the basement of our home, and now we have this, by the way, we have this beautiful, did you notice we have a beautiful building? It's amazing. So I can drive here, and I can work in the office here. This is great. But I can sit down, and I can read God's word and pray before I leave the house, or in my own office there, or I can do it here, I can do it on the way, or whatever, but I can choose to just spend time with God now because I have a flexible schedule. Now, that's easy, right? And you're like, well, of course you do. You're a pastor. Like, God is your job. Some of you are thinking that. I'm just saying it out loud. Okay. But remember, Laura and I, before I was a pastor, before we were in ministry, we were public school teachers. So I definitely had to do this before I ever became a pastor. And when we lived in North Carolina, Laura would drive about 20 minutes to a different county to work in the school that she worked in. She was a third grade teacher. I drove about just a little shy of 15 minutes away from our house to the east side of the county that we lived, to the high school that I taught at. I taught history, social studies, law and justice, political science, all kinds of fun stuff. Doesn't that sound great? Some of you are like, no. That's what I did, and then I coached soccer after school. It was amazing. But here's the deal. I did not have an ounce of time from about 7:30 in the morning until 3:30. No, if you count soccer, 5:30, 6 o'clock at night. I mean, we're talking 20 minutes for lunch, and there were students that liked to hang out in my classroom for lunch. I'm like, I just need 20 minutes. No time. And so my time with God was in my drive from the house to the school. And I had my quiet time with the Bible before that, but I would drive and I would turn the radio off and I would just pray for almost 15 minutes all the way to the school. And sometimes when I got to the school, I was not done praying. And so I'd sit there and I'd talk. And when I pray out loud, because otherwise I can mess with my head. And so I'm praying out loud and I'm doing all this and doing it. And sometimes I get to there and I would pray for myself. I'd pray for my wife. I'd pray for our future kids. We didn't have kids at the time. We actually had a really hard time having kids. And so we'd pray for future kids. We'd pray that God would allow us to have kids, all those things. I would pray for my colleagues, my teachers, friends at the school. I would pray for my students. Man, my students dealt with a lot. And that was when, honestly, I feel like days were a little bit easier. They faced a lot of things, and they would share things with teachers, sometimes with me, that were going on, that were really struggling for them. So I would pray for them. And yes, I would let them know. If parents had a problem, they can come talk to me. I would pray for them. Before you run to work, walk with God. Here's why. If you want to trust God, you need to know God. And you can't know God unless you spend time with God. Right? If you want to trust God, you got to get to know him. Learn who he is. Learn what he wants. Who he's made you to be. The second thing, if we're going to trust God, is you need to put limits on your work week. That's hard. I don't know about you, but I like to work hard. Like, I like to hustle. I really do. I like to hustle. I'm like, ooh. At the end of the day, if I have just spent every day just grinding, just hammering away on things, all kinds of stuff, and it's been busy and I'm exhausted, I'm like, I feel good at the end of the day. That's just my mentality. I love that. Let me just say, I struggle with this one a little bit, but the truth is that God has designed us to limit our work week. So work up to 6 days, but don't work seven. If you're working seven, you're in violation of God's way of life. You're in violation of God's way of life. It's sin. He has commanded us to work up to 6 days, not seven. Now, we're like, really? Like, that's sin? Yeah, because God has declared it very clearly. And let me kind of illustrate this. It's possible to have success and not work 7 days a week and not check our email, cheat on the side, and be like, oh, I just need to check the thing. Oh, man, presentation tomorrow. You change the time. Blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, your brain and your heart has gone there, and your family's there, but you're gone. Don't do it. Present. Let me kind of illustrate this. I've used this illustration before. Let me illustrate this through a couple of different companies. So you guys have heard of KFC and Chick-fil-A, okay? KFC has 30,000 locations worldwide. They're in 150 countries. Did you guys know that people like fried chicken that much? Isn't that amazing? Right? 150 countries. It's incredible. Okay? Chick-fil-A is in 3,500 locations worldwide, and they're in three countries. That would be Canada, United States, and Mexico. Those are the three countries. So all in North America. Okay? Now, based on that statistic, you would think that KFC is by far and away killing it compared to Chick-fil-A. That's what you think, right? Now, here's the truth. I looked up actually the earnings from last year. So this is current, just from last year, okay, 2024. Here it is. KFC earned $20 billion. Chick-fil-A earned $20 billion, but these are the per store averages. Look at that. KFC earns a little over $1 million per store. Chick-fil-A earns just shy of $10 million per store. And just so you know, KFC is kind of plateaued, stagnant, whereas Chick-fil-A continues to grow. In fact, they don't build stores as fast as they probably could. They are measured in their growth on purpose. And here's what we all know. KFC operates all 7 days. Chick-fil-A is closed on what day? On Sunday. You know why they do that? Because they believe the home run life actually works. They're making just as much money as KFC with a fraction of the locations. They're successful, and they give their employees 1 day off a week that's not vacation time, that's just off. I don't know about you, but that's a big deal. And we think it doesn't work. Maybe we just don't trust. We got to trust God. The last principle that I want to share is this. If God is my provider, we need to realize that I work for him. I work for him. I want to illustrate this with a story that Kevin Myers shares in his book. Listen to this story. A budding entrepreneur opened a cleaning business in a small city. She was a hard worker. And like other business people in her community, she was always competing for business. It wasn't long before she became aware of the reputation of one wealthy lady in town who used any particular cleaning service only once. In all her years, she'd never hired the same service twice to clean her large house. When I finally got my call, the entrepreneur said, I was going to give it my personal best. And we went into that home and we cleaned and we gave it our absolute best. As we cleaned throughout the house, we'd find a variety of change or coins along the way. We'd just place it in a little cup in the kitchen. After completing the job, the entrepreneur received her payment and left. Imagine her shock when a few weeks later she got a phone call from the wealthy lady asking her to clean her house a second time. For the life of her, she couldn't understand why she was getting a second chance when no one else did. I would love to do it again, the entrepreneur answered, but can I ask you a question? With all the people who have cleaned your house, why are you letting me do it a second time? It's very simple, the wealthy lady answered. $1.61. Excuse me? You were the only one who found the entire $1.61 in change that I had strategically placed throughout the house. Some people found 89 cents. Some people found 90. Some people found $1.25. One even found $1.40. But you and your company, you found the entire $1.61. What's the point? The point is simple. Who do you work for? Are you a $1.61 kind of person? I'm going to give it the absolute best that I can. No matter who I'm working for, no matter who's there. If I'm all by myself, nobody else is in the office, I'm going to hammer on this. I'm not even going to check fantasy football during work time. Woo! I even do that. Are you kind of person who doesn't work for a boss, doesn't work for a company, doesn't work for the pay, doesn't work for the bonus, doesn't work for whatever? You work for God first. And therefore, how you work and how you work with people and how you treat people matters, because you don't work for the company, you work for God first. I'm not saying you don't work for the company at all. You just work for God first. And so if the company wants you to lie, then you can't. because you don't work for the company first, you work for God first. Yes? God's first. God is your provider. God is your everything. God is everything. You work for Him. Do you trust that? Because when we trust that, it changes how we live, it changes how we think, it changes how we operate, it changes what we do, it changes everything. And here's the thing, going back to that whole divided life thing, you know what happens? You know what has happened? We have taken God out of half of our life, half of our society's life, half of government, half of schools, half of everything. And all of a sudden, God is non-existent in half of our culture. I don't know if you've noticed, but things aren't going great. And do you know why? It's because on the other side of that line, God is absent because we've taken Him out. You know what the best thing is for us as followers of Christ to trust God? Is that when we go into that other half of life, professional, coworkers, whatever else, when you go into there, do you know who you need to carry with you, the power that you need to carry with you? That's Jesus. You need the power of Jesus when you go to work, because the people around you at work need the power of Jesus. You can't leave him at home. Hey, Jesus, here you go. Watch some TV if you want. I'll be back in 8 hours. What? But we do. And we don't talk about God. We don't think about God. We don't want to press God on anybody else. Again, yes, be loving, be respectful, be kind. I'm not saying shove it down the throat, but we can't leave God at home. You are the hands and feet of Jesus. But here's the truth. The hands and feet of Jesus, the body of Christ, is not existing, is not going into the places that He's desperately needed. We talk about Him in our home. We talk about Him in our yard. Sometimes, but then we don't bring Him anywhere else. And that's where He's needed the most. You're the hands and feet of Jesus. God wants to send you out into the whole world, not just part of your world, not just part of your life. Will you trust Him? Will you trust Him? Seek God first and be sent out, be the hands and feet of Jesus to a world that needs Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, You have called us to more. You have called us to greater. You have called us to deeper. You have called us to bigger than what we think. God, You have called us to the home run life that is the whole home run life, not half. You have called us to run all of the bases, not just a couple of them. You've called us to run the bases in the correct order, not just one or two, or to chase after third. You've called us to have success, but also to have the relationships and the character and our faith all intact. There are coworkers that we work with on a regular daily basis, God, that they don't know anything about You. They've heard about You maybe, but they don't know anything about You. And they desperately need You, and all maybe the person that is sitting here today. They're going to go to work and they need to carry You with them so that they will be the light. Your light, Jesus, that's going to shine and point them in a direction that's going to give them hope and healing and a fresh, different, changed way of thinking. But God, we can't change the world if we keep You boxed up in our house. We can't change the world if we keep You just in our family. We can't change the world if we never take You to work and to school and to a government and every other aspect of life. Help us to be the hands and feet. Help us to realize that we are being sent out every single day to be a light, to be the source of power and hope and healing to a world that desperately is looking for it. God, send us out. Help us to trust you, seek you first, that you are our purpose and our provider. We pray, we ask all of these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.